Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke chapter 3 verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your presence here now by your Holy Spirit. Please open our hearts and our minds to receive you afresh this day, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Would you like to be seated? Well, I'm quite relieved this morning, quite relieved that we haven't got to wear the masks. Isn't it wonderful that we've been relieved of that for today at least? I don't know about you, but have you noticed that some of the masks are really good quality and others are really so uncomfortable they keep moving either up your face or down your face under your nose? And don't even mention if you wear glasses, the steaming and the fogging up. Do you know, I even had one mask that I just filled my car up with petrol, and I had to go in to the petrol station to pay for my fuel, and the strap broke on my mask and I couldn't find a spare one in the car, so I had to wander into the petrol station trying to pay and log in holding my mask across my face. Of course, it was quite a cheap mask, but that's what happens, isn't it, with inferior things. But very soon we're promised that the borders are going to be open, and I'm sure that people will start slowly, perhaps, travelling again. Perhaps they may wander over east for a bit, and then when they're feeling a little bit more confident, maybe even then the trips to Bali will start again. Well, you know what happens when people start going to Bali. They often come back with a lot more of these cheap, inferior goods. Designer purses, sunglasses, and even watches. All made to look like the real thing, when in fact they don't work as well and they break the straps. We all know what that's like. But it's a multi-million dollar business, whether it's on the street corner or even at the online store. Lots of people do make their money selling deceptive goods. I recently heard that you can even buy fake COVID vaccination certificates if you pay the right price. I don't advise it at all. Genuine fakes are available everywhere, but there's no substitute, is there, for the real thing. Some people say, well, what's the big deal? Who's going to know the difference? Well, like I said, after a short time, the strap will fall off your mask, or you could be exposed to having not the genuine article. Investing in an imitation watch or a bag might not be such a great loss for us, after all. It might only cost us a few dollars. For the people who design and pay for the genuine article, of course, their name suffers. So when we buy these cheap goods, we have to think about that. But when it comes to investing in other things in our life, such as safety masks or getting hold of the genuine vaccination certificate, or even investing in our relationships with one another, it's important that we invest and put our faith in the real thing, the genuine article. Some people often say that, Christians, they come to church on Sunday and then they go out and around and they do all sorts of terrible things. They're awful through the week. So perhaps they're not Christians. Well, I expect we have to ask ourselves, are we the genuine article? You know, of course we're going to fall down. Of course we're not going to be perfect all the time. We're going to make mistakes. But are we genuinely trying to be the genuine Christian? Can we honestly say that, hand on heart, that we try to do our best? And also the same is true with our relationship that we form with God. It's important for us only ever to put our faith in the real Saviour, Jesus, because there's much more at stake than just buying dodgy goods. It's much more than just money. Jesus Christ gives us hope in the life now, but also offers us eternal life in the life to come. We know, I know in the 70s especially, there were many, many people, and there still are today, who claim to be God or claim to be the Messiah. And there are also false teachers who claim to know the way to heaven. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But many people continue to still put their faith in all sorts of things, trying to fill that gap that's inside them that actually is yearning out for God. Now, they may not even know that it's God they're yearning for. They just know in their life there's something missing. Something's just not quite right. So they try and fill their life with all sorts of other things, like sport, buying material stuff, eating to excess, drinking to excess. They might even put their faith in their horoscopes or follow leaders of different religious sects, and there's lots of them about. But none of those things are going to satisfy the soul because none of them are the real deal. If anything, they will only ever give short-term relief. What we all need to do is to turn more to study God's teaching and to follow his son, Jesus Christ, more closely, giving Christ the rightful place in our lives, putting him at the centre of everything we do, not just on Sundays, but through the week as well. Helping us make our decisions, what we do at work, what we do in our home, what we do when we're out and about in the community. Is Jesus at the centre of our thinking? Do you know, in the Bible, the reading we've just heard, many wondered if John the Baptist was God's son. But John was very quick to correct them, saying there was one who was going to come after him who is more powerful, whose sandals he wasn't even worthy to untie. If we remember back to John the Baptist, he had a huge following. People were desperately searching, even in those days. They were searching for something, and they hoped that John the Baptist might be the one that they were searching for. However, John was not the one. He did have a good message. And it's what John did with his message and his followers that is significant on our reflection today on the baptism of Jesus. Because John did what we are meant to do. He pointed people to Jesus, and John's status as a celebrity at the time started fading as Jesus' status was rising. And John wouldn't have had it any other way. He knew that that was the right thing to do. He did not continue to gather people around him once Jesus came into his time. He sent his disciples to go and follow Jesus. John then didn't call people to himself. He called people to repentance. he didn't seek to cultivate his own reputation. He prepared the way of the Lord, and he pointed people in the direction of Jesus Christ. And that is what we are meant to do as Christians, by the way we are, by the way we live, by the way we treat other people, by offering an invitation to others to come and see. Pointing always not to ourselves as good examples, but pointing to Jesus Christ. If you remember a few weeks ago, we had the verses immediately preceding today's passage. We heard that many, many, many people were going into the desert to see John the Baptist. Yet rather than reward their curiosity with pious entertainment, John slated them. He said to them, do you remember? He said, you are a brood of vipers. And piece by piece, he dismantled their securities, their national heritage, their shrewd financial advice, their powerful social positions, even their brute strength. None of those things that they had put their faith in, he said, was going to help them. John said, even faithful discipleship to John's message was not enough. John knew that everything that is false and secondary must fade away in the face of God's revealed truth. So John was not a counterfeit, and his preaching wasn't false. Yet compared to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, John was only ever second best, a fact that he knew very well. When he said, one who is more powerful than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John's message that the Mighty One will gather the wheat, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire, is described in the following verse as good news. But when can it ever be good news or a welcome thing to say that we're going to face certain wrath? How can it be good news to have your defences judged flimsy, your resources declared worthless, and your patriotism undermined and your religious devotion questioned? Well, if we focus on the ever-expanding production of the counterfeit and putting our energy into second-rate things in our life, we may not ever really recognise the real important things when we see them. So we must focus on Jesus and his teaching if we are to live as God intended and to rest in his promise of life in all its fullness, now and in the life to come. Just finally, John's message and the baptism of Christ is a herald of both good and bad news. The bad news is that we are continually surrounded by false offers of security, identity, and worship. And we don't need to look very far to find these things. However, the good news is that the one who came to those and whose birth we celebrated just a few weeks ago at Christmas, and whom we worship again today, will eventually burn away all that chaff, revealing what is true and worthy of our praise. Thanks be to God. Amen.